that it went towards the rock face and it disappeared within it. It went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, let's proceed now. Misda and Kedar were the two people that hacked the legs of the she camel and eventually killed it, slaughtered it. Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam was heartbroken at the news. At the news and at the rebellion and disobedience of the people of Thamud, his people, had they become so gross in idolatry and sin that they did not care or fear the retribution of Allah Ta'ala about which he had warned them? Truly, the curtain of sin and wrong is a blinding one. Allah Ta'ala revealed to Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam that the Thamud had only 3 days left in their lives before the divine wrath and punishment of Allah Ta'ala fell on them. O Saleh, go amongst the people and tell the people and inform them only 3 days in their whole life. After 3 days, their life will be ended. Allah's punishment is going to come and they will be totally destroyed. Announce this to the people. When he told the people this, their response was an amazing one. Truly, the fate of a fallen people is a grievous one. Even the truth seems far-fetched to them. They mocked him when he told them this, and they demanded to see this punishment immediately or receive some sign of it. Oh, Saleh, what are you talking? Why 3 days? Do it now. Show us you can do it now. They dared him, they challenged him, they were rude to him, they were insolent to him. They mocked him at what he said. Allahu Akbar, what the prophets of Allah Ta'ala have undergone, brothers, is remarkable. It's amazing, the stories of the Anbiya's. Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam told them that the sign of this impending destruction after 3 days would be that on the first of the 3 days, you see, when they challenged him and they told him, let it come now. So Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam told them, my Allah has revealed to me that azab will come on you after 3 days. They of course then told him, why 3 days? Have it now. Why do you want to stretch it out for 3 days? When Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam kept insisting that Allah has revealed to me it will come after 3 days, so he said, alright, give us a sign. Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam then immediately made dua. He did not question Allah's authority and command. When Allah Ta'ala told him 3 days, Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam accepted it. When the people told him immediately, Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam did not turn to ask Allah Ta'ala to make it immediately, because that would be confronting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. But this he can ask. Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam made dua and said, ya Allah, for the 3 days, give me a sign which will assure these people that the doom and destruction of them is coming after 3 days. So this is what was revealed to Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that this is what would happen. The sign of the impending destruction after 3 days would be that on the first of the 3 days, the people's faces, in other words, the unbelieving people, the disbelievers, their faces would turn yellow. On the second day, it would turn red. And on the third day, all their faces would turn black. And that the third day would be their last and final day on earth. Still the people mocked him. Still the people were rude to him. Shaitan fired their imagination with a final solution for their problems. Here now at this late juncture, when only 3 days are left, Shaitan is back on the scene. Shaitan fired their imagination. They must kill Nabi Saleh. They must kill Saleh alayhi salam. It was their only way out. It was the only solution. Some men then set out at night to do so. But a barrage of stones rained down upon them and all of them were killed. That night, the 3 days are to come. That very night when Shaitan came to them and told them, you'll become heroes. You people are going to become heroes. Who is going to take and go and kill Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam? So there we find that a group of people did go. Some men did set out during the night. And of course, stones, as they walked through, they had to go through the mountainside. There were many mountains there. They had to go over across a mountain road to reach the home of Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam, where he was asleep or resting. And then of course, as they moved in, stones fell from the mountainside on them and they were all buried below and killed by these stones that fell upon them. Exactly according to prediction, the Thamud people turned color on the first day from yellow, to the second day to red, and on the third day they turned to black. But though they became disillusioned with the passage of each of the 3 days, they never turned to tawbah, they never turned to forgiveness, they never turned to repentance for their sins. The punishment of Allah Ta'ala was now inevitable. None of them knew how it would come. Two simultaneous developments took place on the fourth day. 3 days have now passed. Imagine, on the first day there was still time to make tawbah and istighfar. Second day there was still time. They can see they have changed their color. Third day, brothers, there was still time. But shirk is an amazing thing. Shirk makes you so blind that there is no way that you're going to ask for tawbah. So terrible is shirk. And now the fourth day comes. Two developments take place on the fourth day. One, a tremendously loud, searing, deafening cry, continuous cry is heard from the heavens. And this cry from the heavens tore at the hearts and the minds of the Thamud people. And this cry from the heavens was accompanied by claps of thunder, by claps of thunderous sound, as the earth turned and the earth rolled and rumbled and roared as it cleaved apart and opened up in an earth. And this cry from the heavens was accompanied by claps of thunder, by claps of thunderous sound, as the earth turned and the earth rolled and rumbled and roared as it cleaved apart and opened up in an earthquake to swallow and destroy all the evil inhabitants of the Thamud people. Two things immediately take place, brothers. Here it is, the third day. The fourth day has come. On the fourth day, one is people hear a huge cry tearing the heavens. A continuous, like we have alarm sound, screaming, tearing the ears and the minds. This sound, can you imagine, was such a penetrating sound that for a while you can resist it, but then it goes right through you. It tears your senses apart. It reels you. You go like a madman. You become like a mad person. And this is what was happening to the Thamud people. All of them were turning crazy. They were going around in circle. The eyes were popping out and rounding it. And the whole mind, they were tearing themselves apart. They were actually digging into their flesh and tearing themselves apart. This is how this cry was going into their minds. And then all of a sudden, with that, another development takes place. The earth begins to tear apart. But I've used these words to describe to you. The earth didn't just silently open up. No. There were sounds like claps of thunder, of thunderous sound, not thunder, but the thunderous sound before the earth opens and separates. Like tearing. You tear a cloth, brothers, you get a sound. You tear paper, you get a sound. Here the whole earth is tearing apart. And so they heard this tearing sound of the earth, and they heard the rumbling and the roaring sounds from the ground emerging as it cleaved apart and opened up in the form of an earthquake, and all the people were simply swallowed up by it. Na'uzu billahi min qahrihi wa azabihi. This kitab that I've obtained this from, the author, when he wrote this description of the cry from the heavens and the destruction of the people by the earthquake, he writes there, Na'udhu billahi min qahrihi wa azabihi. O Allah protect us from your wrath and your divine vengeance, your punishment, O Allah. It is in this way that the powerful and the arrogant and the idolatrous nation of the Thamud people came to an end. They were thoroughly deceived by Shaitan all along. They would not heed the advice of their Prophet Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, and they would not leave shirk. In the end they were destroyed, and so also their land. The Quran Majid carries the full story of their rebellion and destruction in Surah A'raf, which is the 7th surah of the Quran, and in Surah Hud, which is the 11th surah of the Quran. Now, what I have done at this stage, before starting with the next story, I have written down the English translation of these two extracts from the Quran, wherein is mentioned the story of Nabi Saleh alayhi salatu wasalam and the people of Thamud. I'm not going to read out the Arabic to you. We're trying to save as much time as possible. But I will merely give you the English translation, and then we will proceed with the next story. In Surah A'raf, which is the 7th surah of the Quran, starting with ayat number 73 and ending with ayat number 79, Allah Ta'ala tells us the story which I've just told you now in the following words of Allah Ta'ala. It goes as follows. And to the Thamud, we sent their brother Saleh. He said, Saleh said, O my people, worship Allah, you have no God besides Him. Verily, there has come clear proof to you from your sustainer, from your Rabb. This she-camel of Allah is a sign to you, so leave her to freely feed in Allah's earth and do her no harm, lest a painful punishment seize you. And remember how Allah made you successors of the Aad and granted you habitation on earth, and you built palaces on its plains and cut up mountains into houses. Remember therefore the favor of Allah and commit not violence in the earth by acting corruptly. The chiefs among his people, who were insolent and arrogant, said to those they assumed to be weak, Do you know for sure that Saleh has been sent by his Rabb, by his sustainer? They answered, the people answered, We most certainly believe in that with which he has been mouthed. Do you know for sure that Saleh has been sent by his sustainer, Allah? The true believing people answered, those who were assumed weak, they answered, We most certainly believe in that with which he has been sent. Those who were boastful and arrogant then said, Verily we believe not in that which you believe. And they, the unbelievers, cut off the feet of the she-camel, and they insolently transgressed the command of their sustainer, Allah. And they said, O Saleh, cause that to happen with which you have threatened us, if you are indeed of those who have been sent by Allah. Whereupon an earthquake seized them, and mourning found them prostrate in their dwelling place. And Saleh departed from them and said, O my people, I did deliver to you the message of my sustainer, and I gave you good advice. But you love not those who give you good advice. That is Surah Araf, Surah number 7, ayat number 73 to 79. Now let us look at Surah Hud, 11th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 61 to 68. Again, I will only do the translation, and it goes as follows. And to the Thamud we sent their brother Saleh. He said, O my people, worship Allah, you have no God besides Him. He created you out of the earth, and He granted you habitation therein. So seek forgiveness from Him and turn to Him, for Allah is near and ready to answer your call. They answered, O Saleh, you were a person on whom we placed our hopes before this. Do you forbid us to worship what our fathers worshipped? And we are certainly in doubt about that to which you invite us, and we have a just suspicion about it. He, Saleh, said to them, O my people, tell me, if I have received clear proof from my sustainer, and my sustainer has bestowed mercy on me from himself, who will protect me from Allah if I am disobedient to him? For this, you will only increase the likelihood of my destruction. And he, Saleh, told them also, O my people, this she-camel of Allah is a sign to you. So leave her to freely feed in Allah's earth and do her no harm lest a painful punishment seize you. But they killed her. So he, Salih, said, but they killed her. The Quran continues, but they killed her. So he, Salih, said, enjoy yourselves in your dwellings for 3 days. This is a promise which is not a lie. And when our decree came, we delivered Salih and those who believed with him through our mercy from the disgrace of that day. For your sustainer is powerful and mighty. And an awful cry from the heavens overtook those who did wrong, so that morning found them prostrate in their dwellings, as though they had never lived therein. Behold, the Thamud were ungrateful to their sustainer. Behold, they were cast far away. Here in the end of this, what I've told you now, Surah Hud, 11th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 61 to 68. In ayat number 68, which these words that Allah Ta'ala says, behold, the Thamud were ungrateful to their sustainer, behold, they were cast far away. The earthquake, after it occurred, left these people lying just like that. The earth tore apart and everything remained like that. And all the people next morning when others came, to, when Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam and the believers saw the scene, the carnage, the destruction, this is what they saw. All the people were lying upside down, torn apart, actually torn apart, physically torn apart, limb to limb. They had torn themselves apart by as a result of the cry that came from the heavens and the earth that tore apart and swallowed them. And this is how they found them lying there. And with this in mind, Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam left that particular area also. Brothers, this is the story which I've told you now of Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam and and the Thamud people. Let's make a start with the next story in the next remaining minutes, and then I will have to carry on with this next week. This is the story of the cow in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Shaitan's whisperings with regard to that particular story. There is the story. The heading here therefore is the story of the cow in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There is the story, mention of which is made briefly in the Quran Majid in Surah Baqarah, of a pious man of the Bani Israel who died, leaving behind a cow to his only surviving son, with the intention that Allah Ta'ala should see to it that he gets it when he has grown, when the child grows. Here is a pious father, day and night engaged in zikrullah. His only possession is a cow. And when he's about to die, he makes a dua and he tells, oh Allah, my son is still a child, young born. My child is so young that he cannot care for this cow. My wife is a sickly person. She's not strong enough and able enough to look after this cow, which needs to be grazed and fed and watered and so forth. Oh Allah Ta'ala, you take this cow in your care. You look after this cow, O Allah, until my son is big enough and grown up enough to look after this cow himself. This is the dua of a dying father. But he was a very pious man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. The calf soon grew into a cow. Well, it was still a calf, the cow, or a heifer. The calf soon grew into a cow and roamed the forests without ever being caught or hunted down by anyone. This boy also grew up to be a fine, healthy young man of noble character, of great wisdom, and exceptional piety. He was obedient to his mother and he served her excellently. His piety was such that he divided the night into 3 parts. He would sleep during the first part of the night. He would engage himself in zikrullah, in prayer during the second part of the night. And he would visit the grave of his father during the third part of the night and there engage in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. His day was spent by going to the forest in the early morning and gathering wood, gathering wood or timber, and then he would take this to the bazaar and he would sell this wood that he had collected from the forests. With the money he obtained, he made three divisions. The first he gave as sadaqah. In other words, he gave it away in the path of Allah Ta'ala as sadaqah to the poor and the needy. And the second he gave to his mother, and the third he kept for his own needs. One day when he was fully grown and sufficiently mature, his mother called him. When the mother had confidence in him that he is sufficiently mature and grown up, mother called him when she had confidence in him, and she told him that the calf his father had left behind for him in the woods. About the calf which the mother had left behind in the woods. His mother advised him to go and seek this calf, which would now be a cow, in the name of the Rabb, in the name of the Creator and the Sustainer of Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Ismail and Nabi Ishaq alayhum as-salam. Alright? In other words, here again you can find the religion of Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Ismail and Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam having come down to the Bani Israel, because we're talking here of the Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the teachings of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam started from the period of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This whole thing comes down from there, and she says, you must go into the forest and in the name of God of Nabi Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq, you must now ask for this cow that Allah Ta'ala, your father, the cow that he left in the woods, or the calf that he left, you must be fully grown now. You are grown, this calf must have grown into a cow, and you must go and call this calf. It is your haq. His mother advised him to go and seek this calf, which would now be a cow, fully grown. She also told him that the sign that it was the right cow would be that it would appear to him like the rays of the sun. Fascinated, the son set off for the woods, where he said, when he arrived in the woods, "O Allah, let me have the cow that my father left behind for me in these woods." No sooner had he spoken these words than the cow appeared before him like rays of sunshine, saying, "O son of a pious father," the cow speaks, "O son of a pious father, sit down on my back, for I am at your service." The son replied, "My mother did not instruct me to sit on your back. She only asked me to fetch you." And so the son started to lead the cow meekly to his mother's house. On the way, a cow herd appeared before the son, before this boy. A cow herd, meaning one who looks after sheep, we call a shepherd. One who looks after cows, we call a cow herd. So on the way, a cow herd appeared before the son. This was in fact Shaitan in disguise. And remember, our story revolves around Shaitan's plan for man. This cowherd is Shaitan. The boy doesn't know this. The cowherd tells the boy, "Young man, I am the keeper of this cow. I had loaded my goods onto it and was making my journey to my house when a need arose. As I got busy, she escaped and this cow ran away. Now that I have found it, do you mind helping me onto its back and leading me to my house? I will gladly compensate you for this service." The young man said, "Get away from here." Can you see from this, the reply that the boy is going to give, why the mother had confidence in the boy, and she thought, well, he's well educated now, and he's mature now, and he's sufficiently intelligent. You will see now why the mother had confidence in the boy. Shaitan comes with this story now, very serious, elderly, bent over, buckled over, and he comes with the story and he tells him, "Look, this is my cow. This cow unfortunately ran away. I had some need and I went into the forest and this thing bolted away and ran away. But it is my cow." And look at the courage, if you can call it, or the cowardice of Shaitan, actually telling him, "Help me, I'm old, help me onto this cow and then lead me to my house on top of it." Anyway, look what the boy replies. The young man said, "Get away from here. First learn to trust Allah. And when you have learned to trust and depend on Allah, then you will have no difficulty in reaching your destination." Where the reply and where the... Look at the brilliance of the reply of the boy. Tawakkal ala Allah. What do you need this for? Make tawakkal ala Allah and you will find your way. So on, Shaitan immediately tried another tactic. Shaitan doesn't give up, brothers. Never. He doesn't give up. He tries and tries and tries. Until you think of Allah, until you seek refuge in Allah, only then is he going to leave you. Shaitan immediately tried another tactic and he said, why then do you not sell this cow to me? I will gladly buy it from you and pay you your price. The boy said, my mother gave me no instructions to sell this cow. So saying, the boy moved forward in the direction of his mother's house with confidence. In other words, he actually literally shoved Shaitan out of the way, or this old man out of the way, and he got on with the job of going back home. So saying, the boy moved forward in the direction of his mother's house. Suddenly, a bird appeared. Look at this. Suddenly, this is the third attempt of Shaitan to try and get this cow away from the boy. Suddenly, a bird appeared from below the cow and flew away. And the cow also ran away behind it. The boy shouted behind the fleeing animal, in the name of Allah, come back to me. The cow immediately returned, explaining, young man, that was not a bird that ran off, that I ran behind. It was Shaitan who got on my back and provoked me to flee away. When you took the name of Allah, an angel appeared and saved me from Shaitan, and then I came back to you. The son eventually returned home with the cow, which the mother was naturally very glad to see. The mother then told the son, listen, my son, we are very poor, and we have no food in the house to eat. Go sell this cow. The son asked her, dear mother, at what price must I sell this cow? The mother said, my son, sell it for 3 dinars, which means 3 pieces of gold. The son led the cow to the marketplace where he was met by an angel in the shape of a man. I shouldn't say this, but I'm telling you because so you know what this story is all about and I can quicken the pace of the story. The boy doesn't know it's the angel. He doesn't know that what he's mean. He just finds a nice, handsome-looking man in the marketplace doing his trade. Alright? Amongst also, he looks for various traders and he sees this man standing on one side and he goes to this man. Who? The boy. And as I say, that man is actually an angel in the shape of a man. And this man advises him kindly to sell this cow at 6 dinars. The son refused to do so without the consent of his mother. Returning home, he gained the consent of his mother to sell the cow at 6 dinars. And so went back to the marketplace. There he met the same person again, who was actually an angel, who now told him that the cow was worth 12 dinars. You know, in the marketplace, you are fully aware, there's always fluctuation. Even in one day, the price of commodity could increase and decrease a couple of times. Now, this is what is happening here. His mother's instruction, 3 dinars, he goes there, this man tells, you must sell it at 6 dinars. Goes back to his mother. His mother says, okay, sell it at 6 dinars. He comes back. The man tells him the price is now 12 dinars. He says, my mother didn't tell me to sell it at 12 dinars. I'm going back to ask her permission. The son once again returned home to seek the mother's consent. But the mother was a wise person. And she said, this man appears to be an angel sent by Allah to help us and to assist us. Go back to him and find out more about the cow. So go back and ask this man that you have met, who's increased the price from 3 to 6 to 12. Go and ask him, what is the plan? I mean, why is he helping us and why is he trying to assist us? What is Allah's plan in all this? Ask him. This young man went to the marketplace and found this man waiting for him with this advice. This time the angel doesn't waste time. He tells him immediately and gives him the advice. Do not sell this cow now. Return to your mother and tell her and advise her to keep it until the Bani Israel come to purchase it. Then you must sell it to them. For Musa alayhi salam is going to refer the Bani Israel to you, to come to you for this cow. The son did as he was bade, and the cow remained with them until a man of the Bani Israel was killed. The killer could not be found, and counter accusations were passed amongst the Israelites until the case came before Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as to who had committed the murder. And Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, to find a just solution to this matter, in other words, to discover who the murderer was, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam directed them to find a cow of a certain particular description and to purchase it at whatever price the owner asks for it, and to purchase it and to sacrifice it, and to touch the corpse of the murdered man with a part of the sacrificed cow, whereupon the dead man would name his killer. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has received revelation. I'm not going into too many details of the story. What had happened is, amongst the Bani Israel, there was trouble. Somebody was killed. When this person was killed, they couldn't find the murderer. They went to Nabi Musa, but there was accusations. You did it, you did it, you did it, the brothers did it, so on. Anyway, the case came before Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam referred the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, tell them that they must sacrifice a cow of a particular description. They must look all over the land. When they find this cow, they must sacrifice, they must pay the price for this cow, whatever the price is, they must pay for it, and then they must take this cow and sacrifice it. They must take a meat of this cow and touch it to the man. A piece of meat of this cow, they must take and touch it to the man. And when they touch the flesh of the man with the flesh of the cow, then this man will name the killer. The search for such a cow led the Bani Israel to this noble son of a pious father, and they paid the boy the weight of this cow in gold, for it was the only cow that fitted the description given by Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and they were desperate to buy it, and they themselves offered this price without hesitation. The Israelites had a lot of gold. Gold was the purchasing power at that particular time. It was the means of exchange at that particular time. And when they went, when after a lengthy search, they searched through all the places, they went to all the people who had cows at that time, owners of cattle at that time, and they looked and they looked, and eventually somebody told them that, look, there is a poor family living in that hut, you go there, and they have got this, we think they have got this kind of cow, we've seen it recently grazing around there, go and find out. When they came there, they met the mother, they met the boy, and they asked the boy, that, listen here, what's your price? So the man was dumbfounded, and when he didn't speak and reply to them, they thought he wants a higher price, and they kept offering it to him until they told him, all right, only let's not, we need it desperately, we have instructions. Meanwhile, what is behind them is, how true is it going to be that this dead person is going to give us the name of the killer? There was more curiosity involved, because they were a mischievous people. That is the idea behind, that's why they were prepared to pay the price. Alright, what price you want? 12 dinars, 20 dinars, 200 dinars, 1000 dinars, whatever you want. And eventually it came that they paid him. Of course, there's another story here also, another riwayat which says they paid X amount. It mentions a certain amount of 1000 dinars or so. Then there's another riwayat that says they paid him the amount that when it was slaughtered, they weighted the leather, I mean the covering of it, its skeleton, they filled the leather, what you call the skin, the whole skin was taken and it was filled with dinars, and that's the price they paid. But the two are the same. The one riwayat that says they paid its skin full in gold, or the one that I have chosen, that they paid its weight in gold dinars, it's one and the same. So anyway, that is a price. But can you imagine the reward of piety? Somewhere along the line it comes. You know, in Surah Kahf also, it is about the boys whose pious father died, and then eventually the wall of the house, Khizr alayhi salam, came, and he dropped the wall, and below it there was a hoard of gold that had been preserved there, and it was meant for them. And here again, this story is in the Quran. Anyway, the curiosity, they paid them the price, And this is what happened thereafter. They paid the price without hesitation. When a piece of the meat of this sacrificed cow was taken and it was struck against the body of the murdered man, then by the will of Allah Ta'ala, a miracle appeared before their very eyes. The dead man stood up, he named his killer, and he fell down again and died. This remarkable story is briefly mentioned in ayat 72 of Surah Baqarah to show that even such amazing miracles could not turn the stubborn Israelites from rebellion against the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. They were a heedless and obstinate people whom nothing could turn from ungraciousness and ingratitude. And here again, following up to end the story is the translation from the Quran where it is mentioned. And I give the translation in today's lesson. The translation is as follows. And when Musa turned to his people, "Verily Allah commanded you to sacrifice a cow." They answered, "Do you make a jest of us?" Musa said, "Allah forbid that I be of the foolish ones." They said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he show us what cow it is." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is neither an old cow nor a young heifer, but between the two. So do now what you are commanded to do by Allah." They said, who? The Bani Israel. They said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he would show us what color she is." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is a red cow of bright color, delightful to the beholders." They said, the people said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he would further show us what cow it is, for cows to us are like one another. And if Allah please, we will be guided." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is a cow not broken to plow the earth or water the field. This cow is a sound one. There is no blemish on her." The people said, "Now have you brought the truth." Then they sacrificed her, though they would rather not have done so. And the next ayat, I notice here, I have not copied it. This is from Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 67 to 71. I've missed out one translation because I only did this today. I was not supposed to give you this translation, but when I was going over it to for delivery today, I wrote this down and I've missed out one ayat. The ayat where the translation where Allah Ta'ala says how when the meat was touched, then the man stood up and actually named the killer. That is also in the Quran. I will recite that for you next week and then proceed with next week's story, which is the story of Qarun in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Inshallah. Jazakumullah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah, on this auspicious day, I'm going to be, the first was on Friday, the first day. Yesterday was the second and today is the third of Dhul Hijjah of the year 1411 of the Hijrah, and today is Sunday. And we have performed Salatul Asr with Jama'ah and are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We commence today's lesson on the subject of Shaitan's plan for man with praises. First, we begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is to say, we begin and start this lesson. We commence it in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we say, Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, we send salutations, darood and salam upon the beloved and final messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and upon his companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Brothers, we last week were doing a story. And the story we were doing is in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, the Bani Israel. An event occurred whereby a cow was slaughtered. And I told you how it came about, that this cow was owned by the son of a very pious father. And without going into too many details, how a angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised this boy when he came to the market not to sell this cow, but to reserve it until Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sent some people to buy this cow. The boy and his mother thereafter tended to this cow and looked after them until an event occurred. That is to say, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to take a decision, a judicial decision with regard to the murder of an Israelite by the Bani Israel people. A man was murdered amongst the Bani Israel, and the family of this man that was slain accused without fact and without proof other persons of this murder, several persons of this murder. This case came before Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was asked to give a verdict, a decision with regard to this dispute as to who was the murderer. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam did not know, although he was a messenger and a prophet of Allah, he did not know and he could not point out who the murderer was unless it was so revealed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to inform the Bani Israel people, the people that had brought the case before him, to his presence, to tell them that they should go and find a particular cow and then slaughter this cow. Then they must take a piece of meat of this cow and they must rub it against the body of the murdered person. This then will involve the murdered person coming to life, naming and identifying his murderer, and then dying again. The Bani Israel people were excited by this, in spite of the fact they had seen numerous miracles at the hand of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and you are aware of the various miracles that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam performed in their presence in front of them. In spite of that, the Bani Israel were not satisfied. They were seeking even more miracles. Now here was a miracle to occur also, and they were excited by this. So they went out in search of a cow. But prior to going, they asked Nabi Musa alayhi salam, tell us what kind of cow, what is the color of the cow, how does the cow look, describe it. And I told you last week that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then revealed to them, he told them, Allah Ta'ala says, this is how the cow is, this is the appearance of the cow, and this is the color of the cow. All those questions and answers were given, and thereafter, of course, they found this particular cow to be in the possession of this boy and his mother. So this orphan boy, they approached him, and then they made him an offer, and the boy kept quiet. He was surprised by the largeness of the offer, by the greatness of the offer, and eventually when they saw the boy hesitating to give a price, they kept upping the price until they said and came to an agreement that they will give the boy the price of the cow equal in weight to the weight of the cow. So they paid him quickly. They were very happy they had got hold of a cow. They paid him the weight in gold for the cow. And because the boy had waited and he was a son of a pious boy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded this orphan boy with great wealth. Because, I mean, you can imagine, if that cow weighed 100 kilos or 150 kilos, then that amount of gold, even in those days, would have been very valuable. So it was well worth waiting for. Otherwise, he would have only got 6 dinars or 12 dinars for that particular cow. Then they took this cow and they slaughtered this cow. Then after that, they took a piece of meat of this cow and they rubbed it against the dead person. The dead person thereafter stood up and he named his killer, his murderer, fell down and died again. Now this was a miracle which occurred. Then I gave you that entire story, and thereafter I recited the respective verses from the Quran, the English translation, and I ended off and told you that I had missed out the translation of one ayat, or two ayats at least, which I'm going to give you now. It goes like this, and this is from Surah Baqarah, second Surah of the Quran, ayat number 72 and 73. I had last week translated for you in English from Surah Baqarah, second Surah of the Quran, ayat number 67 to 71. Let me go through that, and then I'll give you today's one. Starting from ayat number 67, the English translation goes as follows. And when Musa said to his people, "Verily, Allah commands you to sacrifice a cow," they answered, "Do you make a jest of us?" Musa said, "Allah forbid that I be of the foolish people." They said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he show us what cow it is." Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is neither an old cow nor a young heifer, but between the two. So do now what you are commanded by Allah." They said, who? The people said, who? The Bani Israel said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he would show us what color she is." In other words, the cow is. Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is a red cow." Here you can say a red cow. The word safara also could mean a yellowish red or a fawn color. Alright? So the word, of course, in Arabic is safara. I last week used the word red and could also pertain to yellow or fawn. Some translators have given as translation yellow, some have said fawn. I've preferred yellow. My reason for preferring yellow is because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Delightful to the beholders." Now, it's not a bright red, a blood red color, but cows you have seen when they are reddish, it is a very nice color, very beautiful color, it suits the cow. That is why I chose red as a bright color. Yellow is not as bright. But anyway, safra is the word, and delightful to the beholders. They said, who? The people then said, "Pray for us to your sustainer that he would further show us what cow it is, for cows to us are like one another. And if Allah please, we will be guided." Musa answered. Brothers, note how many questions the Israelites used to ask, questions in detail over and over again to their Prophet Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and you juxtapose that and look at the companions of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they used to ask questions, but a reasonable amount, not like the Bani Israel used to ask Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam has mentioned this on several occasions. He said, and he has advised his ummah, do not ask too many questions, because questions can lead people astray. So here we go again. The people said that all cows are the same, O Musa. Tell Allah, Allah Ta'ala, your Allah, your Rabb must tell us, what special features does this cow have? Musa answered, "He, Allah says, she is a cow not broken to plow the earth or water the field. She is a sound cow and there is no blemish on her." The people said, "Now have you brought the truth." Then they sacrificed her, though they would rather not have done so. Eventually they went, they searched for the cow, they found the cow, they slaughtered the cow. And the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells, they sacrificed her, though they would rather not have sacrificed her, not have done so. So even there you will see their attitude. Now the two ayats which I missed out, which indicate how the dead person arose, life poured into him, flowed into him, he arose, mentioned his killer and then died again. Here it comes. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat number 72 and 73 of Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, "And recall the time when you," meaning the Bani Israel, "slew a man or murdered a man, and there was dissension among you concerning him." In other words, concerning the murdered person. "And Allah brought to light that which you concealed." And Allah brought out, and Allah identified the murderer. This is what it means. "And Allah brought to light that which you concealed." Then Allah Ta'ala says, "For we said," now here, you know, when the plural form comes, it means the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something splendid, something amazing, a miracle, something wonderful is going to be spoken by Allah Ta'ala. "For we said, smite the murdered one with part of the slaughtered cow. In this way does Allah raise the dead to life and shows you his signs that you may understand. It's very, very clear. I may mention here that I have inserted several words to make this ayat very, very clear. For we said, smite. Smite who? So I put in inverted commas, Allah Ta'ala smite the murdered person with part. The Quran says with part. I've put in with part of the slaughtered cow, with part of the meat of the slaughtered cow. And then Allah Ta'ala says, in this way does Allah raise the dead to life. So when you take and you smite it or rub it against the dead person, piece of meat of the slaughtered cow, remember the cow is also a miraculous one. The moment you touch it, you rub it against the dead person, what happens? Allah raises the dead to life, and thereby Allah shows you His signs, which means Allah's qudra, Allah's power to create life and death, to bring from nothing to life, from life to give death, to make the dead alive. This is all in the power and shows you His signs that you may understand. Then I've inserted the beginning of ayat number 74, but I won't carry on with that. Only to tell you that when it comes to Bani Israel people, Allah Ta'ala says the following, then O Israelites, O Bani Israel, then your hearts were hardened after this. Every great miracle occurs right in front of their eyes. And says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, summa qasat qulubukum ba'da dhalika, then your hearts were hardened after this. After seeing a miracle like this, instead of saying la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Musa kalimullah, Musa rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they rather went deeper into kufr and sunk deeper into shirk. What an amazing people are the Bani Israel. So brothers, that is the part that I had missed out last week. That is the ayat of the Quran. That concludes our story about the boy in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and about the Bani Israel people and how Shaitan tried to deceive the boy and rob him of this particular cow. That was the section that we were particularly interested in, of how Shaitan uses his various plans and tricks and schemes in order to mislead people. But this boy, bihamdillahi ta'ala, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was saved from the plans of Shaitan. But here we have where a story where Shaitan did succeed with his plans. And this is a story of Qarun in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There are so many stories in the Quran of the period of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I have chosen for you another story which is also mentioned in the Quran with a fair amount of detail, and that is the story of Qarun. Fir'aun's story we are already doing in Tawheed versus Shirk, so we are not going to go into the story of Fir'aun, which is lengthily spoken of in the Quran, detailed. We are going to do the story of Qarun, which is lesser known, in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and it goes as follows. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, many stories in the Quran of the period of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I have chosen for you another story which is also mentioned in the Quran with a fair amount of detail, and that is the story of Qarun. Fir'aun's story we are already doing in Tawheed versus Shirk, so we are not going to go into the story of Fir'aun, which is lengthily spoken of in the Quran, detailed. We are going to do the story of Qarun, which is lesser known, in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and it goes as follows. Nabi Musa alayhi salam encountered a most interesting situation during his lifetime. On the governmental level, he had to contend with the power of Fir'aun. And on an economic and financial level, he had to deal with Qarun. And Qarun was the minister of finance of that period. And under the hukuma of Fir'aun, the chief minister of finance, the man who controlled all the economy and the finances of his government, was a man called Qarun. And Qarun, as finance minister, was also the wealthiest man at that particular time in Egypt. And remember, Egypt, the Egyptian empire was a very vast, a very mighty, a very large, a very wealthy empire of that period. Qarun was the richest man. Fir'aun had held all the power of state, but wealth, Qarun had the most. Both these men of power rejected the message of Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. And both of them, Fir'aun and Qarun, hated and feared Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But what could they do? They couldn't do anything to Musa alayhi salam, because Musa had no army, Musa had no arms, Musa had nothing whereby you could say the man had any material power. He had no wealth, he had no home. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spent most of his life in hiding, most of his life in hijrah. So he was a man that had no possession. What could Fir'aun do to him? What could Qarun do to a man that has got nothing? Let's proceed. Fir'aun was and did not belong to the family of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. But Qarun, yes, he was the son of the uncle of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Look how close Qarun is. Qarun is closely related to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Qarun is the son of the uncle of Qarun. Qarun is the son of the uncle of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Qarun, however, was terribly envious of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and he hated Nabi Musa alayhi salam also for the piety, for the honesty, and for the popularity of Nabi Musa alayhi salam amongst the masses. Qarun amassed a fortune in his lifetime, and he spent much of it, much of this wealth, on himself, on his homes, on his palaces. And he had one palace in particular which was wrought with gold. In other words, wherever you saw in this palace, he used a lot of gold plating to cover most of his possessions in this palace, wrought gold palace, and on a very opulent lifestyle, way of living. His fortunes were so vast, so great was the fortunes and the wealth and the treasures of Qarun, and most of them were in the form of gold and silver, that the Quran mentions the great wealth and the immense treasure of Qarun in the following words: Inna mafatihahu latanu'u bil usbati ulil quwwa, which is in Surah Qasas, 28th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 76. Allah Ta'ala says, so great was the wealth of Qarun that his keys would have weighed down a group of strong men. Not the gold and silver itself. His keys, inna mafatihahu latanu'u bil usbati ulil quwwa, his keys would have weighed down a group of strong men. Which means, if I am to explain it to you, his fortune, only his keys, if you took a great number of men and you gave them their keys, the keys would have burdened them. They would have had to sit down as a result of the weight of the keys. In the Mufassirin have written as follows: his fortunes were so vast that it took over 200 men to drag the keys of his treasury. His personal treasury, it would take 200 men to drag only the keys. And it would take 40 asses to merely carry the keys of his immense treasures. Either 200 men or 40 mules or 40 donkeys or asses only to carry his keys. And I told you in the Quran, in ayat number 76 of Surah Qasas, which is the 28th Surah of the Quran, this is mentioned. Allah Ta'ala doesn't even mention how vast were the hoards, his hoard of treasures. Allah Ta'ala only says his keys were so heavy that 200 men or 40 asses would have had to carry it. Together with his immense fortunes came heightened arrogance and selfishness. The simple dervish-like or hermetic-like existence of Nabi Musa and Nabi Harun alayhi wasalam bothered him, and their lack of interest in wealth and possessions amazed him, and yet they were loved and respected by the people, whilst Qarun was neither loved nor was he respected. He was thoroughly hated and he was disliked by the people. Qarun was a shrewd and a very clever man. He was also well versed in the scriptures. Yet he refused to believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. He refused to accept the risalat of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Harun alayhi salam. And he rejected belief in the hereafter. He firmly believed that his belongings were acquired by him through his learning and his personal skills and cleverness, and the power which he had was power that he had attained through his own intellect. He refused to accept the belief expounded by Nabi Musa alayhi salam that everything belonged to Allah Ta'ala. He refused to accept the fact that man merely held possessions in trust, and that man would have to account for all his dealings and actions in the Akhirah. He did not believe in the accountability of man by Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. He did not accept that. He did not accept the Day of Judgment, Day of Qiyamah. He did not accept Jannah and Jahannam. Qarun was conceited and he was contemptuous. He merely sniggered and shrugged his shoulders when told to give zakat on his immense fortunes, which consisted of tons of gold and silver. Must have been tons of gold and silver. Why should I pay levy? He used to say, why should I pay a levy on what I have gained through my own learning and through my personal skills, he would say. Surely I can do with mine what I wish, he would boast. Then he would oppress the people further and he would deny them even more. That was Qarun. So this is the way Qarun lived. Two things I wish to point out to you. One is that from this period of Fir'aun and Qarun, immense wealth the Egyptian civilization had. Mankind is today discovering in all the things that the geologists are digging up in Masr, in Egypt, they are finding huge graves, tombs and so on, graves of their ancient rulers, the pharaohs. And in these tombs, they are discovering vast amounts of treasures. If you visit the Egyptian museum, you will see there that for example, the graves, they call it the sarcophagus, that is the one in which in which they bury these people. Not actually the tomb. Yeah, the mummies. And the box in which they bury the dead, what do they call that? Here we have it, the Christians, when they bury their dead, it's a coffin, not coffin, yeah. Yeah. Now they call it the sarcophagus. The Egyptian mummies of the pharaohs are buried in. The whole sarcophagus or the coffin is made of pure solid gold. Now that weighs anything 200 to 300 pounds. In other words, it can weigh up to 150 kilos. That is solid gold. The whole mummy is covered completely with a gold plating, thick gold plating the whole mummy is. Then that whole sarcophagus is covered in a chamber. That whole chamber, which could be anything by, say, about 3 meters by 2 meters. The whole tomb is of solid gold and embroidered with solid gold. So what I'm trying, and how many pharaohs there were, could have been anything up to, a figure is mentioned that 44 pharaohs ruled over Egypt. Now 44 sarcophagus, 44 tombs like that, and all, all those things. Can you imagine 44? If a ton of gold was used for one, that's 44 tons alone. What immense treasure. And we are only mentioning a few. What about all the princes that died and the princesses that died and the other royalty? So this is where it must have gone. Now here Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Pak mentions that Qarun's keys to his fortunes alone were so heavy that a group of men, and I say the Mufassirin have mentioned that it is about 200 men. 200 men would have had to sit down with the weight of the keys of Qarun's treasures. Brothers, it must have been immense. That's one thing I want to point out too. The other thing I wish to point out is that with wealth, look what came in. Conceit, pride, arrogance, rejection of haqq. This is what came in. And this is the moral of this whole story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is informing the Muslimin, us, the ummate Muhammadiyya ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, that look, O Muslimin, you are also going to get and be perhaps rich and wealthy. There are going to be amongst you people who are going to be well off and rich and wealthy. Don't let your case be the same as that of Qarun. Don't let material possession blind you. Don't you become a Qarun. Don't you become a Fir'aun. Two kinds of powers are given to man. One is power to rule over people. That means government, hukuma. That Fir'aun had, you know what happened to him. The other is wealth. You may not belong to government, but then again, Allah Ta'ala may bless you with great business, with great industry, with great wealth. You may have a lot of possessions, a lot of properties and possessions. Don't let that go to your head and don't become blind as a result of that. And further on, what we're going to do now, you will see how Shaitan then comes to these people, to Qarun, and then he makes waswas to them and he takes them away from Iman and puts them deep into kufr and shirk.